Well, it is so good to be able to stand right in front of you and actually speak. We are distanced quite a ways away, but you know, before I went on vacation, we kind of got into a rhythm of speaking to the camera and of kind of doing a production, TV quality some weeks, most weeks. But then, you know, last week, because my test results were not yet in, I had to stand in an empty sanctuary, and I kind of stumbled my way through, and then I was at home, and at 9 o'clock, there were tech issues. But what I was trying to convey last week is that we're in a brand new, really little fast sermon series called Exceeding Expectations, that I firmly believe that lives can be lived that go beyond, can be lived greater than merely that which is anticipated, that because of the work of the Holy Spirit, we can have a love, the ability to love that is greater than what is necessary. And this is what God wants for us. Jesus says in John's Gospel, chapter 10, the first part of verse 10, I came that they may have what? Life. And what kind of life? Have it abundantly, that exceeds expectations. And my sentence of truth was basically, once we are actualized, once we have become the person that God needs us to be, that God wants us to be, you and I, young, old, male, female, regardless of our ethnicity, can live lives that exceed expectations. As Soren Kierkegaard said, with God's help, we will become ourselves, our true selves, men and women of God. But I wonder how many of us kind of set expectations that are too low. I know for a fact some set expectations they're too high, but many of us settle on being less than all we can be, certainly less than all God has called us to be and needs us to be. But I said it is possible. Jesus himself tells us it is possible. Paul, writing to a church in Ephesus, lets us know it is possible. Chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 gives us this promise, gives us this truth. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. For how long? Forever and ever. Amen. And so last week I said it is possible, but this week we need to unpack that. How is it possible? What does it look like living lives that exceed expectation? It happens when we give beyond that which is expected, when we do more than what is expected, when we serve deeper with more passion than is expected. Give, do, serve. And so Miss Christie, in her children's moment, kind of gave us a reference to just one verse that is taken from the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew. It says, if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the second mile. And we know that within context, the law of the day, they were occupied people. A Roman soldier could come up and just command that any person on the street carry something for them for up to a mile. We have that story of Jesus trying to carry his own cross, and he could no longer do it. And one from the crowd is commanded to do it. Maybe this is foreshadowing, but Jesus is saying, no, don't just do merely what is expected. Go above and beyond. A little bit later, he talks about giving the shirt off your back. It is really a call to go beyond what is expected and to pay it forward. What does it mean to live a life beyond ourselves? And where might God be nudging us to pay it forward? Are we all familiar with that phrase? Pay it forward, pay it forward. It is an expression for when the recipient of an act of kindness does something kind for someone else rather than simply accepting or repaying the original good deed. Doesn't that sound kind of bland? That's dictionary, kind of urban dictionary definition. But I first became aware of it maybe 25 years ago when there was that movie with the little boy and pay it forward, pay it forward. But I did some research this week, and this concept of paying it forward is actually ancient. We can find it being explored from ancient Greek comedies to Benjamin Franklin's letters to Ralph Waldo Emerson. In fact, Jesus when it gives us the golden rule, do for others as you would have them do for you, was a complete reversal of what the common phrase was, which just was, don't do something you wouldn't want someone to do to you. Jesus was saying, pay it forward. But the actual phrase, pay it forward, does anyone know where it really came from? 1916, anyone alive other than Jacobson, about 1916, in terms of what is called of us? The actual phrase is from Lily Hardy Hammond in her novel, In the Garden of Delight. And she wrote this, you don't pay love back, you pay it forward. You don't pay love back, you pay it forward. I just love that phrase, especially in the context of love. Now, when I was in seminary, we had to read a book by John Bunyan called Pilgrim's Progress. I know some of you maybe have read that book, are familiar with the book. But John Bunyan said this, you have not lived today until you have done something for someone who cannot pay you back. You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who cannot pay you back. And so sometimes we don't call it pay it forward. Sometimes we call it random acts of kindness. Just out of nowhere, someone does something that makes such a difference in our lives, such a random act of kindness. Maybe a year ago, I talked about a dear little nun at Edgewood College in Madison, Wisconsin, who did a random act of kindness that really shaped the direction of my entire life. I was looking that I was going to have to drop out, and yet she knew I had this calling to ministry. My ministry today would look much different. I don't even know if it would be if I had to drop out. She arranged for funds. But I heard a fantastic story, one you have not heard before. My wife, her mother, they're more than just mother-daughter. They're great friends, you know, as mature women, and they make each other better. They help. They laugh when they're together. But in her 80s, her mother was feeling more susceptible and has not allowed Janet in the house since before St. Patrick's Day. And yes, Zoom is great, but there's nothing like seeing that face to sit at a table with someone. And so Janet was able to go to Madison this week after my test came back negative and the girls' tests all came back negative. My mother-in-law finally said, okay, come and let's just hang out for a little bit of time. And she told Janet a story that Janet hadn't heard before about her father, my father-in-law. He was an elder in the United Methodist Church. The last church he served for about 12 years was First United Methodist Church in Madison, Wisconsin. He came out of one of the Ohio conferences, and he grew up in a poor family. He was the eldest sibling, and dad worked for the YMCA, but he was bright. He was sharp. The potential was there for him, and his high school guidance counselor knew that it was going to be a financial hardship to try and send him to a school for 4 years that was really going to challenge him. He talked about wanting to study philosophy, which really was a great aid when he finally got into seminary. But that high school counselor paid for his very first year, the entire first year of college at Oberlin College in Ohio. Now that's more than a random act of kindness. That is something that exceeds expectation. And so he was able to be there and to start studying philosophy and to read the great thinkers throughout history up to modern times. Another thing happened. His sophomore year there, he sang in the Oberlin College choir, and all of a sudden this real cute blonde from the Twin Cities was singing there, and well, that's my mother-in-law now, which I'm thankful that they were able to hook up so that I could meet my Janet. Random acts of kindness that pay it forward, that make a real difference in real lives, that move the world forward, something that can't be paid back, but something that hopefully motivates to pay forward. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, there is this verse. And I want those of you who are here in the sanctuary with me to read it out loud. And if you're at home, just go ahead and raise your voice to your TV or to your phone or your computer. As this proverb says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord and will be repaid in full. The word of God for the people of God. And yet so many of God's people hang on so tight. So tight. Henry Fielding said this, "Make money your God and it will plague you like the devil. Make money your God and it will plague you like the devil." This is what he had to say. "We are all capable of turning our desires into passions. And depending on the values we hold dear, they can be healthy. Family, love, career fulfillment, new worldly experiences, inner peace. However, many people throw their passion into things that will utterly destroy them. And for too many, money is that. It becomes a god. And when it becomes a god to you and you seek to hang on to it too tightly, it's going to plague you like the devil." Just plague you like the devil. And then he has a sports analogy, and I always like sports analogies, although it's one of the very first hockey analogies I've ever heard in a kind of a sermon. He says this, "Money in and of itself is an arbitrary accumulation of numbers, like the score ticker on a never-ending game of hockey, a hypothetical game. It would take about 6 overtime periods for the crowd to turn from excited anticipation to boredom and fury. By the 7th overtime, people are getting ready to set fire to the stadium itself. Except, at the end of the game of money, there's no winner. Only the crushing realization that life has been wasted on an endless pursuit of something which holds no intrinsic value outside of what it represents." And so he urges us, instead, chase organic pursuits. Follow your heart, be kind to others, and I love this last sentence, and make love your center of influence. If love is truly the center of our influence, our lives have to be lived in such a way that exceeds expectations. We know it to be true that every time we spend money, we are casting a vote for what kind of world we want it to be. What does your money say about you? Now, there have been so many terrible things about this period of COVID and this pandemic, but one of the things that has really lifted my heart has been the new ways in which people really are giving, still wanting to make a difference. And yes, there are famous celebrities, even Giannis, our all-star MVP Giannis for the Milwaukee Bucks, you know, made a donation with other players to make sure that the stadium workers at Fiserv would not have to lose any home or have a different quality of life. But friends, you here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay, you too have found new ways to give, to do, to serve that exceed expectation. You know, our mission team continues to support the missions that we have identified, even though we can no longer collect the coins, although I suppose you could throw some coins into our offering box today, that people are still sending their missional monies in because they realize that we are here not just to serve us what happens inside these walls, but we are called to be a bright, shining light of love that exceeds expectation beyond these walls. Just before I went to vacation, there was a very large check that came in, and there was a handwritten note. "We know that churches are struggling in this time because they can't collect their offerings. I hope this will help our church make it through." Just incredible gifts, new ways to give, to do, to serve. We've had our food containers, we've had our toiletries, we've had our medical supplies that are coming in droves, and we're not hoarding them here, we're letting them go out to the homeless shelters, to places like the Peace Center, which we heard from today. Nothing can stop the worship of God, and nothing, let nothing stop the mission and ministry. But what it all boils down to me, friends, is just one word. Care. And if we're going to put it in action, it is to be caring. Caring people exceed expectations, especially in a society that is growing and moving towards more and more self-interest. When we care, we share. When we care, we extend empathy, not apathy. The great doctor of love, Leo Biscaglia, said, "Too often we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around." Turn it around. One other quote said, "Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world, for indeed, that's all who ever have." That is all who ever have. Live lives beyond expectation by being people who care. There is witness to this in scriptures, to the church in Galatia. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all. And again, in 1 Peter, oh no, I take that back. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too." Others too. Now, obviously, we need to read the situation, right? When we are paying it forward, when we are doing a random act of kindness, we really need to make sure that we're doing no harm, but indeed are doing good. But we know sometimes our efforts to do good actually do more harm than good. We are called to use our gift of intellect. But we also need to make sure that justice and goodness are at the forefront and not merely toxic charity. We spoke about that just a few weeks ago. Charity and justice work need each other, but it can't come at the expense of the other. Never forget at my last church, maybe 15 years ago, one of our church leaders gave me a call. There was someone who was in need, and he helped that need. And then it wasn't like buyer's remorse, but then all of a sudden he started to wonder if he had been taken advantage of. And he just wanted to process that with me because he knew I would listen to him. And so we were processing that. And I told him something that I probably had heard somewhere else, but it became the hook or the refrain to a song that I wrote and that we used to sing at that church. And it simply was, if you're going to make an error, let it be an error of love. Let it come because you care. Let it come because you don't want to do harm, but you want to do good. You want to change lives. You want to have a life that exceeds expectation. As St. Augustine says, it is to love the right things to the right degree, in the right way, with the right kind of love. And so we know that nobody cared more. Nobody in the history of humanity has paid it forward more than Jesus Christ. Peter, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you, loves you enough to go all the way, to pay it forward to an extent that no one else here can. Brothers and sisters here in the sanctuary, brothers and sisters at home, it is God through Jesus Christ who sets for us the example and the expectation. We've heard it in Old and New Testaments that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Just love God with all that you have. But secondly, and love your neighbor as yourself. Give, do, serve, care, live lives that exceed expectation.